Time for a deep dive into the one issue that matters most in a capitalist democracy, money. This is Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, a joint production of the Maggie Dawn Show and the Patriotic Millionaires. Now, let's start talking money.
Welcome, Wisconsin and beyond. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Today on Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, we've got two extremely special guests, Sister Alice Gerdeman of the Congregation of Divine Providence of Kentucky. She's a long-term educator, advocate for peace and justice issues, and coordinator of the Intercommunity Justice and Peace Center in Cincinnati. We've also got Sister Quincy Hauer of the Sinsinawa Dominican Sisters. I'm going to ask you if I got that right in just a second, who works in community development, disaster recovery, and resilience planning, environmental advocacy, and policy analysis. They both come to us from Network Lobby for Social Justice, which is a national Catholic advocacy organization working to shape federal policies to achieve racial, economic, and social justice. They're on the show today to talk about a tour they're taking part in right now called Nuns on the Bus, Vote Our Future Tour. It's a 2.5-week nationwide bus tour that goes all the way from Philadelphia to San Francisco. And yesterday, they had a stop in our very own Milwaukee. Sisters, it's great to have you on our show. Thank you for making time.
Thank you so much, Maggie. Wonderful to be here.
Let's just start off. I remember Nuns on the Bus from a couple of election cycles ago. What is the Nuns on the Bus tour, and what are you and your fellow sisters trying to accomplish?
Well, I actually think this is our eighth Nuns on the Bus. One was virtual, because we all know why that happened for a few years ago. The purpose of it is simply to call people to realize what are some of the issues that they need to be thinking about, and not to be concentrated on just one, but to look at everything from a moral, ethical point of view, and to consider everybody so that everybody benefits from what happens in our extremely important elections, and every one of those elections is.
It seems right to me, sisters, that's about a fundamental return to some of our first principles, not just as Americans, but as people, and that is to look out for one another. And that when we all do better, that's good for us as individuals as well. When most people think of nuns, I doubt they think of a bunch of nuns on a bus talking about political, racial, and economic social justice. How did both of you get into advocacy work like this?
Well, I started out joining my congregation in my late 30s. So I had a full professional career behind me at that point. And right after taking my first vows, I traveled to Washington, D.C. to work for Network Lobby for Catholic Social Justice as my first ministry, and learned how to lobby on the Hill at the same time that I learned what it means to be a Catholic sister. I grew my sea legs really in Washington, D.C., working on the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. That's how I learned to do lobbying and advocacy. So it is near and dear to my heart, is probably the opposite of what I should be saying, but it hits close to home, so to speak. I worked for Network for several years after that, and now I'm living in Wisconsin, which is obviously one of the battleground states, and I'm having a very different experience of how to do advocacy, really with my neighbors and the folks that I work and rub elbows with in rural Wisconsin. So it's been an interesting change.
And my story is pretty much different. I'm obviously a little older than Quincy, and I started out as an elementary school teacher, and then as a principal. And I was part of those, what I consider to be the early justice and peace things, like the boycott of lettuce and those kinds of things, which I did as a sideline while I was doing all of the educational parts. I also, some of the schools that I taught in were schools that had kids that had great needs and families that had great needs. And you know, when you're a teacher and you're surrounded by kids who need something, your initial thought is, how can I get it? And it wasn't only social service agencies. There weren't a whole lot of them back in the 70s, but it was also, look, there's some things holding people back. How can I get these kids to use their marvelous talents in some way? And then my religious community in 1973, about the same time Network was starting, we decided as a group that we wanted to work for justice. And then we came to the realization we had no clue how that was going to work. We didn't know what that meant exactly. And I was sent out to find out and to help bring the other sisters on board in whatever way that we could possibly do it out of our own experience and our own convictions, so that the world became a better place.
I would just say, I think it was a shift with women religious around that time that Alice is talking about, where they realized you charity service, direct service in the community can only go so far, and that there are systemic issues that are resulting in the needs that we see. So Network Lobby was really the sisters' effort to focus on the federal level policies that could make a difference in the need that we were seeing on the ground.
And I was sent to a summer institute with Network in Washington, D.C. to get those basic skills of lobbying and to understand a little bit about the federal programs and the access points that we could do back in Kentucky.
I did not realize that. I just became an extra fangirl of Sister Alice.
I love it.
I was one of the first, but
you
early
were
on.
One of the first.
Early on. Yes.
That's formative days.
Folks, those are Sisters Alice Gerdeman and Sister Quincy Howard. They're both part of the Network Lobby for Social Justice. Now, nuns on the bus going coast to coast to fight for economic, racial, and social justice. Ladies, I was raised in Catholic schools. I went to church every weekend. I was blessed to go to one of Milwaukee's most liberal parishes, and really firsthand saw not just the work that nuns did in direct service in community, but this nascent movement of nuns advocating and engaging in political advocacy to address these systemic issues. So my deep thanks. You all have always been on the front lines, and you continue to do what anybody would be compelled to call God's work in service. Thank you. Go ahead, Sister
One
Alice.
Of the things, as you said it, it's like, you know, we were in, and we are in, a privileged place. Because we don't do, when Sister Quincy doesn't do it, and I don't do it just because of my interests or my talents. We have a corporate body behind us of women who've had all kinds of experiences, and we share those experiences and we cherish those experiences. And so we can bring a voice that has a whole lot of experience of all kinds of problems and good things to the forefront.
That's
and
right.
To let, I just remember in the early years when I was working, when I was in a senator's office, and I was, you know, he wasn't going to pay attention to me. I was going to talk to one of his aides, but he came in and he sat down and he said, you know, I always like to read the letters I get.
I've always been struck by those who enter service, whether it's service through a religious vocation or public service, who truly do it because they are centering the needs of others, not doing it for personal aggrandizement or the personal acquisition of power and influence. You both are certainly exemplars of what is truly service to others. What was your experience yesterday in Milwaukee like, ladies?
Well, I was in Milwaukee and we were at Mount Mary University.
Yes.
And I must say it was beautiful. And it was welcoming, all the way from a young woman who was there, who was a sophomore, who said, you're going to like it here because, you know, this is a caring community. We're well-knit. Welcome. And some former nuns on the bus who came up and said, your life is going to be changed by the people here and the experience that you're having. And then we had, I would say, 200 people come to our our forum that night, and people were engaged, very engaged and very enthusiastic, not only to collect new information, or maybe not totally new, but little nuances of what of the information that they had, but also to be in the presence of a group of people, all of whom want to make the world a better place, and all who have energy to do this, and all who are multi-issue voters. I think just about every one of them was, probably a few exceptions, but that whole feel of excitement and caring was just so evident.
Sister Quincy, as Sister Ellis was alluding to, Nuns on the Bus and the Network Lobby for Social Justice, you've got a whole range of issues that you're focused on. We on this show tend to focus on economic justice. So let's dive right in there. Do you think that the current structure of our economy reflects your faith or Christianity more broadly?
No, I do not. I think that we have completely missed the mark in the United States. And I feel like there is capitalism is not an evil system inherently, but I do feel like it is unhinged at this point in our history, and it is making Americans commodities or consumers or burdens to society. There are labels that we're attaching to people that don't recognize their dignity, and it adds also, you make products from housing, you make products from what pay is for people. So there's this capitalist model that is really taking over what we see as human dignity and the soul of the American people.
Sisters Alice Gerdeman and Sister Quincy Hauer, both part of the Network Lobby for Social Justice, which was founded in 1972. It's an inclusive national Catholic advocacy organization open to all who share the values of economic, racial, social, and environmental justice. They are part of the Nuns on the Bus national tour. They were in Milwaukee yesterday. We are just digging into economic justice. And sisters, everyone that is a working person in this country knows that it has gotten more and more expensive to raise a family in America these days, that more and more people feel like they just cannot get ahead as they look at rising housing costs, childcare costs. How should people be thinking about these sorts of issues as they decide who they're voting for this November? Sister Quincy, let's start with you, if you don't mind.
Sure. Well, I would just say that the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, I think, is one good piece of information to remember, for folks to remember, because this was the tax bill that was passed in 2017, and it has contributed to a lot of the pain that middle and lower income houses are feeling these days. It was sold as a tax cut to the middle class. That was far from what it was. It cut obscene amounts of money from corporate coffers and from the wealthiest in our nation. I think that folks should remember what administration that happened under. And then I would encourage them to look at the Inflation Reduction Act, which happened under the Biden-Harris administration, which actually started peeling back a little bit of that. For example, it gave funding to the IRS, which had been badly underfunded for years, and allowed them to recoup $1.3 billion in unpaid tax from tax cheats. And it's these kinds of funds in our coffers as a country that can be redistributed in ways that some would call socialism. I would call equal distribution to help people meet their basic needs. And these are the kinds of policies that we have seen Biden and Harris implement.
Yeah, one of the things that I like to point out to people is that a tax cut for those who have the most, and I'm talking about the extremely wealthy and the most profitable, consistently profitable, huge corporations, a tax cut is its own government handout. And so if you attack government handouts, that you allege go to people in greatest need, then why would you ever support a government handout to those who need nothing, not a thing, from our government or from our economy as a system, especially as the middle class is struggling? It just makes no sense from either an economic standpoint, a democracy standpoint, or frankly, a moral one. Sister Alice, on the other side of things, we've talked about these rising costs, but wages simply are not keeping up. What do we need to see from our lawmakers when it comes to protecting workers' rights and seeing real wage growth?
Well, it seems to me we need to support unionization. We need to say to people, you do have a right to stand up for your vote, for your rights. You have a right and to demand a dignified working situation. According to Catholic social teaching, the wages that you have should be able to take care of the basic needs of a family. Now, that doesn't mean they each have to have a mansion or a three-car garage, but the basic needs of a family for food and education and healthcare, all of that should be able to be provided through the work of the adults in the family. And when that doesn't happen, it chips away at the dignity of people and the kinds of work you do. I mean, there's no work that doesn't deserve to be remunerated in a fair way. We have a hierarchy of this is an important job and that's not an important job and all those things. Well, frankly, it's an important job if it has to get done. And therefore, you know, it should, therefore, you should be able to raise your family that way and hold your head up high.
I couldn't agree with you more, sisters. I have often said to more conservative friends of mine, listen, we agree that people who work hard, that's a good thing. And so if we agree that if someone's willing to work 40 or 50 good, hard hours in a week, that they should be able to live on that. That is our social contract. And if we cannot fulfill that social contract, we need to enact changes to get back to that place. Sister Quincy, we've talked a lot about taxes. I talk about them almost every day on this show. And I'd love to get your take on how we should be taxing the rich. Is it right that billionaires oftentimes pay less than working people?
Well, no, of course it is not. It is immoral. One thing I do want to just add about the minimum wage is that Wisconsin is one of the remaining states that is still using the federal minimum wage of $7.25. an hour. Obviously, many places pay more than that, but you can get away with it in Wisconsin. So the Raise the Wage Act would be really great for Congress to start with. As far as tax goes, I think the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act is about to come up for extension because it is going to die, thank God, hopefully, a death. And if it were to be extended, it essentially would take $4.3 trillion out of the U.S. coffers over the next 10 years. $1.9 trillion of that would be essentially the rich, the people that make $100 million or more. If we were to tax them at 25% instead of what they are currently paying, that would be enough to pay for childcare for every child in the nation. That would be enough to pay for free tuition for college students in the nation, and that would be enough to pay for family leave for every parent in the nation. So it gives an idea of the stark contrast and the scale that we're talking about. What to some ultra wealthy people is a gift is really important to those who can't get by.
Do you want more billionaire handouts, or do you want childcare, college education, and paid family leave? That is the choice this November. Thank you, Sisters Alice Gerdeman and Sister Quincy Howard, part of the Nuns on the Bus national tour. They're in Chicago right now. Thank you, ladies.
Thanks for listening to Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, a joint production of Civic Media and the Patriotic Millionaires. For more information, go to patrioticmillionaires.org and be sure to tell your friends. The Patriotic Millionaires buy advertising across a number of Civic Media stations.